Well, the moral of that video is forensic experts will never have the opportunity to reconstruct the face of Jesus from a skull. And you can applaud that if you think that's good news. But if this was, and many believe that it was the skull of Mary Magdalene, then it's important to us because she's one of us. And she is the only person that Jesus appeared to before he ascended back to the Father to show the sacrifice that he had made and the victory that he had over sin, death, the grave, and hell. And so today we're going to look a little bit from her perspective. It was very early on a Sunday morning, some 2,000 years ago. There was a house that had fallen silent and sorrowful in the old city of Jerusalem. Suddenly, a Mary Magdalene burst in the door of that house, and she got in the face of disillusioned and disheartened disciples. She announced with uncontainable joy, "Alive! Jesus is alive!" Amazing message. Jesus is alive. The silly woman, the men must have thought. We watched him die, and then he was buried. Everybody knows that dead people don't come back to life. And finally, after the disciples checked out the claims of Mary Magdalene for themselves, their despair would indeed turn into dancing. And ever since, the world has known Jesus is alive. And his message of good news is for anyone and everyone who will believe this story and embrace his message with whole hearts. Now, before I dive deeper into Mary Magdalene's frontline faith and the resurrected Jesus, I want us to hear four general life-changing invitations to anyone and everyone who will believe in the risen Savior and the good news that he proclaims. Invitation number one, Jesus is alive, come and see. In Matthew 28:6, the angel of the empty tomb said to the skeptical disciples, "He's not here, he has been brought back to life, as he said, come and see the place where he was lying." Now, the biblical account of the resurrection is given by eyewitnesses. At one time, Jesus appeared to 500 eyewitnesses. So this is not the stuff of myth or legend. Rather, this story is anchored very clearly in human history. Come and see. There is evidence. Nowhere in the Bible are we encouraged to leave our brains at the door when we believe on Jesus. Faith is not mindless gullibility. Faith is a leap, but it is not a leap in the dark. Faith is a leap in the light. And while the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus may not be such as to make faith easy, it is of a nature as to make faith truly possible. So check out the evidence for yourself. Come and see. The stone was rolled away from the tomb, not so Jesus could get out, but so we could get in. I've had the privilege of making a trip to that garden tomb outside of Jerusalem. If I live to October, I'll go in the 15th time. I remember on one of our first visits, we had a British Christian man that led us through the garden tomb. And at the very end, he looked at us with a really beautiful smile on his face. He said, "You know, the most wonderful mystery and beauty of you being here today is that you have paid a lot of money and traveled across the ocean to see absolutely nothing." And it was a good deal, I'm here to report, to see absolutely nothing. Come and see. Invitation number two is Jesus is alive, so you can kneel in faith. There comes a time when examining the evidence must end in our lives, and we have to make a personal decision. Is the resurrection of Jesus real, or is it fiction to me? Will I believe or keep on unbelieving? You see, more than just a historical fact, the resurrection of Jesus is an existential imperative. In other words, Jesus is alive. Now, what will I do with him? What will I do with this resurrection reality? Even Thomas, he was a part of the disciple band. He was known as a doubter. Early on, after the resurrection, he followed the evidence. And once he saw Jesus, he cried out, "My Lord and my God." You see, it was more than a historical fact. Thomas realized that facing the risen Savior, he had to make a decision for his own life. And he cried out, "My Lord, my God." He made it very personal. So Easter brings to each of us a choice of consequence. Will I believe in the risen Savior and embrace his message of hope for myself, or will I doubt his resurrection and continue on my hopeless way? We have to make a decision about our own lives. In John 14 and 19, we're led into this third invitation. Jesus is alive, rise in power. And Jesus promised in John 14, 19, "You will live because I live." And the Apostle Paul penned these words in Colossians 1, 27, "Christ in me, the hope." The hope of what? The hope of glory. Glory is life after death. If we study the Old Testament very carefully, we will see that the text of the Old Testament tells us that God is for us. If we study the message of Christmas, the incarnation, then we see that God is with us. If we study Easter and really combine it with Pentecost, which is going to be fun here in a few weeks, we find out that God wants to be within us. And this is the beauty of this season that we find ourselves in. We can rise in power because Jesus rose in power. Ephesians 5:14 houses the invitation in beautiful words, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And finally, the fourth invitation, "Jesus is alive, go and tell." In Matthew 28:7, the angel at the tomb told the women, and later Jesus would tell Mary Magdalene alone, "Go and tell." Go and tell what? Go and tell Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And here's the hope of this holy day. Jesus is alive. He has defeated our sin, our death, our grave, our hell. He's alive today to save us and to lead us to be our Savior, to be our Lord. And as a result, we cannot tell our own story unless we tell His story. Because our story would end, but because of His story, our story never ends. Jesus came for us. Jesus died for us. Jesus rose for us. And Jesus will come again for us. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. We can never cry that apart from the resurrection reality. You know, we believe here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene that everyone needs to know these hope-filled truths. And that's why every Easter we make such a big deal of the resurrection. The expectations are very high, and why shouldn't they be? There's a lot of optimism for us on this day. But we want you to know that every other Sunday of the year is to us a recapping of that Easter Sunday and what happened 2,000 years ago. Now I want us to quickly go back in a little more specific and look more personally at Mary Magdalene. She simply loved Jesus, and she believed Jesus had risen when others doubted. Now, what do you think that kind of understanding could do for us in our hearts if we were to accept and own His resurrection personally? To believe, as Mary Magdalene did, in the actual bodily resurrection of Jesus. To believe that Jesus was once literally dead and 3 days later literally alive again. What could that kind of faith accomplish in our own lives personally? Well, for one, on the witness stand of your life, let me say, believing as Mary Magdalene believed has great importance for our real everyday lives. It has changed my life completely. From the moment we believe it, and for every moment moving forward, it changes absolutely everything. It's personal power to our own hearts when we believe that Jesus is alive. Would you like some power for your own heart? Well, it happened on this day some 2,000 years ago. In a little bit, we're going to have a song. It's sung from the perspective of Mary Magdalene to Jesus on that first Easter morning. The songwriter penned these words, "What kind of king would choose to wear a crown that bleeds and scars to win my heart? What kind of love tells me I'm the reason he can't stay inside the grave? You, It is you standing here before my eyes. Every part of my heart cries, alive. You see, this is just not the resurrection day of Jesus. It's our resurrection day. He came out of his grave so our grave could not scare us. He pulls us to life from death, alive. And unless we personally join in Mary Magdalene's declaration that Jesus is alive, listen closely, read my lips, hope will never happen in our lives. I'm here to report the words on that banner are true. Hope happens here. Hope happens here and here alone. There is no other way to find hope for your life, for me to find hope for mine, apart from the resurrection reality of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to Easter, we cannot hold the claims of this day at arm's length. If we are to ever have power, have hope, have life, we must not only acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus, but we must embrace it as our very life personally. When it comes to Easter, you and I, we have to choose one of four stances. This is what we have to choose from. There are no other places to stand. You see, the resurrection commands that we choose. And by not choosing, we choose. Resurrection stance number one. I really recommend this one. Number one, the resurrection is true for me and my life now. That's one stance. And that's where I'm standing. The second stance, the resurrection is true, but it really doesn't apply to me. Three, the resurrection is outlandish. It must be legend, good storytelling, fictional at its best. Or number four, the resurrection is a lie. So we have to choose where we're going to stand. Easter demands that we choose. Mary Magdalene, though a believer some 2,000 years ago, she's still today a good model for us. Why? She was not a theologian or a scholar. She was not an official apostle or a teacher. She was simply someone whom Jesus called friend. And after he delivered her from seven demons, why not? This was her friend. She could have penned the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." She was a friend of God because she loved Jesus. She believed Jesus. She knew how deep her sin and her lostness was. But she came to know how much deeper his forgiveness and deliverance was. Mary Magdalene, like us today in her day, she needed power, she needed hope, she needed life. She, like us, had a huge need for a resurrected Savior. So what really is so special about Mary Magdalene on this day? Well, she was the first person to see Jesus after his resurrection. The first human to know and the first human to believe it was true. She saw the alive again Jesus, spoke with him, and knowing it was him, she believed personally, immediately, and she couldn't keep it to herself. And that's why we have the message today. But how about the other friends of Jesus, the disciples? Well, they refused to believe what Mary had surely eyewitnessed. Well, at least they did at first. It was too bizarre for them, you know, too unbelievable. That truth, even coming from the lips of the faithful Mary Magdalene, who was a real sister to them, who traveled with Jesus. She traveled with Jesus 2.5 years. She knew Jesus. She was like Jesus. The words of her testimony, I guess it just broke their brains, you know. They just didn't know what to do with it. But eventually, Mary's message would change their lives, change their hearts. Mary's message, Jesus is alive. It was then, it still is today, the single most essential truth, reality, known to humanity. And here's the good news for you and for me. It is within our grasp at this very moment. We can take it, or we can leave it. The only question remaining for us is, will we personally believe Jesus is alive and choose him to be our life? Because apart from him, we only have death. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, I am the truth. I am the life. And there is no life apart from Him. No real life. This has been my favorite quote of this season on Easter. It's an old quote from C.S. Lewis. It's got a hold of my heart, I just want you to know. Jesus is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first human. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is now different because he has done so. Everything. Is your life different? I mean, is everything different about your life? Would you like for it to be? For centuries, many have debated whether we understand in order to believe or whether we believe in order to understand. In other words, which comes first, reason or faith? Does one reason one's way into faith or believe one's way into rationality? Though many glibly assume that seeing is believing, the gospel points to a deeper reality. Believing is seeing. Everything's upside down in the kingdom of God. Believing is seeing. Faith enables us to see the truth. Jesus said it specifically when he was speaking with Martha outside of Bethany in a cemetery where her brother had been 4 days, 3 to 4 days, graveyard dead. His name was Lazarus. And you know what Jesus said to Martha in John 11 and verse 40? Listen closely. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So if there are any here today, you're waiting to see it before you believe it. That's just not the way the kingdom of God works. You have to believe in order to see. Socrates, dead. Buddha, dead. Muhammad, dead. Marx, dead. Freud, dead. And the Dalai Lama will soon be dead. And I'm not feeling so well myself. But listen, Jesus is alive. Come and see, kneel in faith, rise in power, and go and tell. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. And as the sun was setting on Good Friday, the friends of Jesus cried out, no doubt, he's gone. But Easter Sunday, as the sun was rising, they laughed aloud, he's back. Watch this.
Peter! Everyone! The tomb is open. He's alive.
That's not possible.
I saw him.
Mary, maybe it was someone else.
You think I'm mad? Peter! See the tomb for yourself. Now, do you believe me?
But he's gone.
Gone? No. He's back.
He's back. And you know why he came back? So we would know that hope is alive. And because he came back from the grave, he's coming back again someday. He's coming back to get those who are alive in him, to be with him forever and forever and forever and forever. How long is that? And forever more. And today, being alive is within our grasp. You know, every Easter season. I get a lot of pressure as a pastor. Don't try this on your own. For 24 years now, I've had the blessing of working through the holy days on the Christian calendar with a local church. And man, it's a great privilege. But every year I go to the Lord and I say something like this: Lord, I need some things this year that I've missed. I want to share some fresh ideas with the people. And today he gave me that in this message, but he gave it to me in a more simple way as well. You know, there's some things in our lives that we sort of take for granted, or we don't notice, or maybe when we're children they mean more to us, and as we become adults they're just kind of there. They show up here and there, and maybe they mean something and maybe they don't. Well, that's what the Lord brought to me during this season, and it's for the time of response. And so I felt like the Lord said, Carrie, let's have this song alive, and in just a moment Aubrey Charette is going to play the part of Mary Magdalene and sing Mary Magdalene's song, and it's our song. But I felt like the Lord said, have the song and have the people to stand. I'll have you stand now. Yep. Your typical conservative Shenandoah Valley crowd. Yes. I love you just like you are. I felt like he said, Carrie, stand. And then he showed me something. He showed me this. You know that since I was a little boy, I've seen the folded hands in prayer. But if I were honest, and I will be, that's not meant a lot to me as I've been older. I mean, my granny had a picture over her table of a man with his hands folded in prayer. Maybe you've seen it. And every once in a while, I would see the symbol of the folded hands in prayer. And I remember as a child, I used to fold my hands at night and pray. It's been a while since I've really thought about that, you know, folding my hands. But this week, the Lord brought it back, and here's what he said. Carrie, I want you to make it as simple as you can on Sunday morning for those who are dead in their sins to come alive in me, for them to find forgiveness for their sin, to come out of the dark, come in the light. And as they sing that song, tell them this. I'm speaking for him now. You say, no, you're hearing Jesus now. Oh, I've been hearing him for a while. He said, my sheep know my voice. And you belong to God, not to me. I want you to really belong to him, though, today. You know what I mean, in your heart. And I felt like he said, just tell them this. Today, during this song, at any point, tell them I'll be looking. And if they'll just fold their hands, they'll fold their hands, I'll see it. And that will be the symbol today that they want to be alive. And I'll forgive their sins. And I'll become their everything if they'll just fold their hands in prayer at any point. So as we sing this song today, heaven's looking. If your neighbor's looking at you, that's their problem. They should be looking at themselves. But heaven's looking. And I believe Jesus himself today is going to be looking for the folded hands. Well, Pastor Carrie, what do the folded hands mean? Yeah, I had to study that. I had no idea. Do you know that in ancient Rome, a captured soldier avoided immediate death by joining his hands together? I knew it had to mean something big. And so today we want to avoid ultimate death. And so we fold our hands before the King of the angel armies. And he said today, if you'll fold your hands with a sincere heart, I'll give you life, not death. I'll give you my life. It's also a symbol of submission, of loyalty, and of obedience. It's a symbol of humility. And so today, during the song, you can fold them like this if you prefer. But I just know today that the Lord's looking for hands that are clasped. And he's going to take that today as your prayer to know him as your life.
Dream.
Aubrey, that's going to be your song from now on. Okay. How beautiful. How awesome. How wonderful. Be seated for a moment. And while you're being seated, there was a card on your chair when you came in. It looked something like this. It says alive at the bottom. Listen closely to me. This is an important moment for some in the room. The second block on this card is the block that counts the most today. The second block, it says, I am ready to be alive in Christ. Today, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. If you folded your hands, heaven took note. You are forgiven.
Amen.
You are no longer a slave of darkness. You are a freed child of the King. And today, if you would do the honor of being unashamed of your association with your new Savior, and just check that second block, today I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I am ready to be alive in Christ. If you would do that now, we got brand new pens in the back of the chairs. Yep. We know they write on these cards. We already tried. It's that important to us. Please, if you prayed today, if you came in this place lost, you came dead in your own sin, you're going to leave today found, and you're going to leave forgiven and alive in Christ. Please check that second block. The first block are for those when you came on the property today, you were in right relationship with God. The sin was behind you and Christ was before you. And we celebrate you too. You say, I am alive in Christ. I already have a relationship with Him. The third block says, I would like to celebrate being alive in Christ. Listen closely. You know, I found out all Christians have not yet been baptized. And I think you should be. People say, why? I said, Jesus was. That's all the reason I need. But I was recently at a pastor's gathering. Mark this, a pastor's gathering. And the district superintendent of the district said, today, he said, I know this is going to seem weird with a whole room of pastors and pastors' wives. He said, but the Lord wanted us to have a baptism service. 11 people later, and we left the hall. 11 people needed to be baptized in a pastor's gathering. So I want you to know that you ought to celebrate what Christ has done, and let us be in on that. We're going to have some baptisms coming up. If you check that, we'll get the information to you. And then it says, I am not ready for a new commitment today. Really? Reconsider. I really wish you wouldn't leave today. But if you're going to leave today, have the courage at least to mark this block, would you pray for me? I believe that is a step towards the Lord's heart. And I've already prayed for you. This morning I stuck a prayer in our prayer wall up in our prayer room. And it said, many souls for Easter and beyond. I wish you'd do it today. But if not, I like the privilege of praying that you will do it beyond. And that the Lord will extend His mercy another day for you. And then finally, just because we had a little more room, I would like to attend pizza with the pastors. If you want a relationship with us, that's not near as important as knowing Jesus. But if you'd like to get in community and know some of the pastors, we'll feed you pizza on May 6th if you check right here. And we'll know the old folk if you try to squeeze in, okay? But if you just want to come, whoever comes, we'll feed you. Maybe you feel like your relationship's old with us. We'd like for you to come. I would like to do one thing, talking about babies. I've been told that Josh and Laura Montanez have their baby here, Brett Grace, for the first Sunday. If they are, and she is, please stand and present her wherever you might be. There they are. Yep, there's the baby. Yeah, you're going to do a lot of hand clasping in the future. And God's going to help you both. Any more new babies here today that I might have missed? We just wanted to make sure we took note of that. Pastor Adrian's going to come and set everything straight right now.
The ushers are going to come and help us as we prepare to close the service today. Thank you, ushers, for helping us. We're going to prepare to receive our regular tithes and offerings. And for those of you that are church family, you already know what to do. But for those of you that are new or visiting, we really want you to know how much we treasure your presence here. You could have been a lot of different places today, but you chose to be here. Somebody might have invited you. We've been praying for you for a long time, and so we just want you to know what a gift your presence is. As the offering plates pass today in just a moment, you can just place your card in there. Make sure you write your name at the top, if you would. You can give us other information too, but please at least put your name. And we want to pray for you and celebrate with you. That is the greatest gift that you could give us today. But for those of you that are already HFC and family, you know that this is the time where we give back to the Lord. And do you know, yesterday, here in this room and really all over the property, we had over 500 people here for our Easter egg hunt. And isn't that incredible? Shouldn't we give God praise for that? So when you give, you're a part of stuff like that. That's the mission, that we're sharing the gospel with our community and just, man, blessing kids and families with a whole lot of fun. And so when you give, you're a part of that. So thank you. Ushers, you can begin now. Thanks for helping and serving this morning. And thank you for your generosity and continuing to give. A couple things we want to make sure you're aware of coming up. We always want to make sure you know where to get information. And so whether you're new or not, we want to communicate with you. We want you to get the communication that you want. So our website. We have folks right now. We see you folks on Facebook Live that are watching. We are so glad that you chose to join us. Do you know that happens every week at 10:30? It's a great way that if you can't be here physically or you know somebody that maybe won't join us physically, you can invite them and say, hey, connect and be a part of Facebook Live. We have other social media and ways that you can get connected. Hey, we were talking about baptism, and some of you already said, yeah, I think I want to take the next step. We have planned a special time in 3 weeks on April 22nd. Sometimes about once a year, we want to plan a gathering just to celebrate baptism. We do it some on Sunday morning, but on this particular evening, we're going to come together, and we just want to celebrate through baptism. And so maybe you didn't fill it out on your card. Maybe the Lord's working on your heart. Would you contact us and let us know? We would love to include you on that evening. We're going to have a big dinner, church dinner, and then celebrate through baptism. We would love if you would consider being baptized on that night. Also, next week, we really want to encourage you to come back. We're starting a brand new series called This Is Us, talking about who we are as a church, certainly the Church of the Nazarene, but here, our local church. And so we would invite you to come and be a part. I promise you it will be worth your time. A couple more things as you leave today. There are people right now moving into place that want to pray with you. You don't ever have to leave here with a need or a burden. Maybe you're wrestling with something this morning and you would just want somebody to agree with you in prayer. Right now, there are people that love you and that love Jesus that are moving into place that would love to pray with you. Stop by across from the cafe. You don't even have to tell them what your need is. You can just show up and they'll start praying. It's beautiful. Right across from the cafe, you can stop in after the service. Also, if you are new or visiting, again, thank you for being here. We have first-time friends tables right as you leave both exits. They would love to just hug, but if you're not a hugger, there will be no hugging, you know. But if you want to hug, they'll hug, okay? Whatever you want. So, but more than that, they would love to give you just some information and let you know that you're welcomed and you're loved. Finally, every Monday here at HFCM, we have Celebrate Recovery, an opportunity to worship, but even more importantly, to grow in your hurts, habits, and hang-ups, to experience God's healing and restoration. If you would stand now as we prepare to go, receive these words. Father, we love you today. But we love because you first loved us. Thank you that right now in this room, there are those that have passed from death to life. Thank you that in this room this morning, across all services, and yeah, one more that's still to come, you are in the business of saving souls who were once lost and defeated and hopeless, but now have been made alive because of what you did for us. We receive that today, and we are truly grateful. We love you, and we bless your name. Amen. Amen. I'll agree with that squeal back there. You are dismissed. Happy Easter.